back to the Being Husband Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan West, bringing you guys another episode here. Telling you all like I always do, gents, thank you for being a part of the work that we're doing. If you've been with us for any length of time, then you know what we're all about. We're here to help you as a man live on mission in your marriage. And today is no different than that. Today, we're going to be talking about Jesus as a man of consequence. And you say, all right, Jonathan, what is a man of consequence? What do you mean when you say that? Well, a man of consequence is a man that has a standard and enforces that standard. He has a standard for himself, and he has a standard for everyone that he comes in contact with. And if people are not able to live up to that, there are consequences from that man. Now, that might sound a little harsh. That might sound a little intense, right? Because we only think about Christians. We only think about Jesus in terms of him being the lamb who was slain. But very rarely do we view him in light of being the lion of the tribe of Judah, the one that conquered death. We think a lot about Jesus being the suffering servant, but we don't think about him being the risen king. And that's really what I want to get into today. I want to get into that because it's going to set the stage for the episode we do next week about becoming a man of consequence, right? But first, we need to understand what that means in light of Scripture. And so you might be saying, Jonathan, Jesus wasn't a man of consequence. He was purely peaceful, right? He just wanted everybody to love each other, right? Right? And the answer that I would tell you is that no. No, there were a dozen examples of Christ setting the record straight and him doing so in a way that perhaps wasn't politically correct, that perhaps was not as tactful maybe as what other people might view, but he set the record straight because he had an objective. He had a standard. He had a standard for himself, and because he was the Son of God, he knew the standard that God had on his people. And so he didn't accept anything less than that. And we see this go on with the temple. We talk about this. I don't know if me and you've talked about this. Maybe we have, but we've talked about this before, I'm sure, in other circles, that Jesus comes to the money changers in the temple. And they're selling their wares inside of the church walls, making money, which, you know, it's kind of scary, right? Because I've been to some churches that like have their books on sale. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't know that Jesus would be cool with that. But hey, you know, y'all do what y'all do, I guess. But he comes in there. He comes in there and he gets upset because he sees that they have made the house of worship into a way, in a place where it's just about the money. It's just about growing an income. It's just about that. And he gets upset. He gets violent. He doesn't start beating people up, I don't think, but he does come through with a whip and he flips some tables over and he's driving the people out of there. Now, I don't think it says anything about people getting actually hit with the whip, but he had one in his hand, okay? He meant business. He meant business. There were consequences for dealing with Jesus. There were consequences for crossing Jesus and, more importantly, crossing the Father that sent him. So you say, all right, Jonathan, man, that's just one instance, okay? Jesus did that one time in the heat of passion. You know, he would never talk to people that way again in the Bible, right? He would never do anything like that. He would never be aggressive, right? Dozens of scriptures more I could get into, but the one that's particularly interesting is the one wherever he's talking with Peter, and Peter is giving him a little bit of grief about, you know, him suffering. Jesus is like, I'm going to suffer on this cross. And Peter's like, no, you're not going to do that. And he tells him, get behind me, Satan. Right? Talk about not being nice. Talk about not being politically correct. Talk about not being kind. Okay, he told Peter that he was of his father, the devil, at one point. He told the religious elite at that time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he told them specifically, this is the Pharisees. He said to him, you guys are whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. You guys look real smooth on the outside. You guys are fresh. You got your hair how you like it. You got your gold on. You got your feet shining. You look good, man. But you guys are dead men. There's no life in you. You're hypocrites. Everything you say, you don't do. And you don't, and worse than that, because we're all that way. We all say things and then we can't live up to them all the time, but many of us want to, provided that we've been saved by grace through faith. We want to do the right things, but this sin is, it's hard to overcome on this side. But this wasn't the case with these men. These men said one thing, and their heart was far from the thing that they espoused. Said that they worshiped God, but really, they was just in it for the check. They were just in it for the influence, in it for the bag, which is very, very different. And Jesus called them out on that. Jesus gave them consequences for that. And so you're saying, okay, so then, all right, Jonathan, you've completely blown up my definition of Jesus. I thought he was just a really nice guy who did a nice thing for us one time on the cross. So who is he then? Who is Jesus? If he's not the eternal Mr. Rogers to me, who is Jesus? And what you guys have to understand is that it's what I said in the beginning, man. Jesus was a man of consequence. He is a husband, specifically of consequence, because his bride is the church, and he would do anything to defend his bride. He will issue consequences to those that oppose his bride. And you think about it this way. When he speaks with authority. That's the thing about men of consequence, is that they're not coming from a place of, you know, they're not flexing just because they flex. They've got some weight. They've got some gravity to who they are. They can back it up, right? Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one, not one person comes to the Father except through me. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a very weighty statement. That sounds like a very consequential statement. If no one can come to the Father, who is the creator of the entire universe, who is the eternal one that has always existed, the creator of the entire cosmos. If no one can come to the Father except through Christ, that means there are consequences for not knowing him, for not having a relationship with him. If his claims are true, now granted, some of you may be listening to, maybe you don't believe yet. Maybe you haven't seen that side of Jesus yet. But I just want to tell you, if he's accurate about that, right? Even say, for instance, you don't believe at this point. Say, for instance, you're listening to this and you say, I like, you know, Christian moral virtues, but, you know, I'm just not sure about the whole Jesus thing. That's fair. I understand that. There were many people that were around Jesus that felt the same way. There are many people that still feel the same way today. There are many religions and faiths, and there's a lot of people that take the Christian virtues and don't necessarily want Christ, and that's, I understand that. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is that if he's right about this, and even if you don't believe that he's telling the truth about this, even if you don't believe his claims, you still need to take that with consequence, because if some man says that to you and that same man was able to influence an entire generation of people and create such an uproar that we now have a religion as a result of his coming to earth, you might want to think about what he said. At least you might want to weigh the consequences out of a man of consequence of that caliber. Because he meant something when he said it. And there was enough people that took him serious that maybe, just maybe, you need to think that one through. And if you plan to think it through, I encourage you, read Matthew 10, 26 through 34. You know what? I'm going to do you a favor, bro. I'm going to actually do you a favor while I'm on here. I'm actually going to go to Matthew right now. And I'm going to find it. Let me see here. Okay, here we go. 26, Matthew 10 and 26. It reads like this. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the hilltops. And this is him talking to the disciples, basically telling them to be fearless. And do not fear those who kill the body. Listen to this. I'm gonna read it one more time. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are more valuable than sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. No, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now that we've dealt with that, you can see articulated, really pointed here, right? By the one statement, don't fear the man that can destroy the body. Don't fear the guy that can punch you, that can only destroy the body. Instead, fear the guy that is Christ and as a consequence, his Father, that can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. That is eternal separation from the Father, eternal separation from Christ. Fear that man. And not the one who can destroy the body. And as a result, you need to understand that me coming here, this is Christ talking, me coming here is not me bringing peace. I'm the Prince of Peace, yes. But the reality of the situation is, me coming here is going to stir a lot of things up. I got a sword. I got a two-edged sword, right? The scripture is said to be a two-edged sword, which means it cuts both ways, right? Which means it cuts to the left and to the right, which means it cuts the capitalists and the socialists, which means it cuts the guys that think that they've got it all right and the guys that have a few questions. Everybody gets cut. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so Jesus is coming to balance the equation out because our debt in sin was so weighty, we would have never been able to get out. Jesus is coming with a sword, letting everybody know how wrong they are so that he can make them right with God. And that is not a peaceful thing to do. Why? Because it upsets people that don't want to know the truth, that don't want to be healed, that don't want to be saved, that don't want you to know the truth. That upsets them, and that causes all kinds of problems. All kinds of problems, because let me tell you something. There are people out there right now, people in high positions of power, that don't want you to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. There are people among you, your friends, that don't want you to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that don't want you to know the power of Christ and the weight of him. Why? Why don't they want me to know? Because men love darkness rather than light. Unless God quickens a man, unless God stirs up his life in such a way, unless God makes a man so unsettled and so unpeaceful in his own heart, he will never come to understand the darkness that he had been living in prior. The peace that he thinks he was living in is not peace. It's chaos. And Jesus is stepping down into the midst of chaos to set the record straight. So he doesn't come to bring peace. He's not making peace with the enemy. He's making war with the enemy. Because the enemy is out for you, and he's out for me, and he's out for all of us. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he uses the influences of this world to keep us in that bondage. So Jesus can't come and kick it with you. He don't have time to kick it with you or with the enemy. He's got to set the record straight. And that's the kind of God that you want to be working with, gentlemen. You don't just want a God that's friendly and that sacrificed his life so that you could appreciate him. You don't need a God like that. He died so that those who did appreciate him, who do appreciate him deeply, could be spared from the eternal weight of their own sin. Because listen, when Jesus says that you're free, bro, because he's got the cojones to back it up, when he says you're free. Why? Because he can get the job done. He knows the Father. He's a part of the Father. He was there when the world was spoken into existence. He makes claims that no other man can make. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Remember? And the thing is, I can't stress this enough. You need a God like that in your life, in our life. You need a God of consequence. You don't just need an eternal Mr. Rogers, right? You don't just need him to know the numbers on your head. You need to know that he can make your enemies your footstool. You don't just need to know that he loves you. That's important. But in addition to knowing that he loves you, you also need to know that he will trod down the enemies that stand in the way between you and him until their blood is splattered on his garments and stains his clothing. It's a quote from Revelation. Let me read it again. He said, my enemy's blood is spattered on my garments and it has stained my clothing because I was trampling them out like grapes in a vineyard. You see what I'm saying? He's not somebody you can take light. He makes outrageous claims. And whether you believe it or not is completely on you. That's between you and the good Lord. But I'm encouraging you, two people I'm talking to right now, if you don't know the Lord, if you've not developed a relationship with him, if you're on the fence, examine the claims. Examine the claims deeply and really wrestle. Really wrestle with that. And you may ask yourself, you know, who am I to accept the love of God that knows the numbers on the head of my, that knows the numbers of hair on my head? That's a fair question. That's a fair question to ask. Who are you to get that kind of love? But in light of the weight of Jesus Christ, who are you to reject that when he calls you? When he's given you an inclination, you need to come to me. You need to dig up this information. You really need to really, really come to understand who I am. If he's laid that on you, you better not reject him if you want to. Okay? Reject him if you want to, man. But I'm telling you, when he gets a hold of you, when he gets a hold of you, if you've been running from him for a long period of time, I don't know that it's going to go well for you. And that's the one guy that I'm talking to. The other guy that I'm talking to is the Christian guy. And I want you to really understand, you and I really need a level here. We need to get the fact that, yes, Jesus loves us. Yes, he has saved us by grace through faith. Yes, all of those things. He bought us with a price, though, bro. He didn't do that so that we could say thank you merely in our words. He did it so that we could say thank you in our actions. He wants us, our bodies, our minds, our souls, our capacities, our faculties, our talents, our hopes, our joys, our fears. He wants it all. He wants it all because he wants to direct it all. And if we just give him a pat on the back and say, that was so sweet of you, Lord, that was so kind of you to do that for me. If that's all that we do, there are consequences for that too, Christian. There are consequences for that too. For being close to the fire and not having a genuine relationship with him. We don't need to take him lightly. This is everybody. We don't need to take him lightly. We need to let the weight of everything he said lay on us. And we need to sit and we need to think about it. It's good for a young man to bear the weight of life while he's young. It's a good thing that we weigh this stuff while we're younger men. It makes us strong. It makes us wise. It makes us men. Men, hopefully, that will be of some consequence ourselves. And that's where we're going to go in the next podcast of this series, gentlemen. And I hope that you were able to get something out of this one. If you haven't done it yet, follow us on Instagram, man. Follow us on Instagram at Being Husband Pod. That's at Being Husband P-O-D. We're all over Instagram. I've limited a lot of my posting just because I got some other irons in the fire. But I do generally about one or two a week. And then I'll be in the stories, right? One time a week, somewhere thereabout. And we have a lot of fun on there, and it's a great place to be able to connect. I'd really like to see us come together. So I'm working on some things behind the scenes for that. So stay tuned for that. If it's your first time here, welcome. I appreciate you coming on. And I would encourage you, even if it's your first time or if it's your millionth time, go leave a rating, a review on Apple iTunes. It's a great place for us to be able to get visibility. It's the algorithms, right? You guys know all the algorithms. You know, you got to get those things together. The ratings help us push us toward the top so that way other men can get some of this information. Because I think that the church really needs this. They really need to, Christian men really need to think through what it is to be a husband and what it is to be a man, a Christian man. Because I think we talk a lot in terms about what it is to be a Christian, but there's a specific thing that I believe we are supposed to be working towards as Christian men. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said, husbands love your wives and wives love your husbands, right? He wouldn't have made that distinction if it didn't matter. So I'm all about making the distinction. I'm all about helping us come to understand the distinction. And I'm all about just telling you guys how I am trying to work through it in my own mind and in my own marriage. So if you guys got any questions, if you guys got anything you want me to dig into for you, I'm happy to do it. Send me an email as well, beinghusbandpodcast@gmail.com. And again, shoot me a DM if that doesn't work. A DM on Instagram at beinghusbandpod. Until then, gentlemen, till our next episode, I want to say, as always, thank you to Octave Studios for the intro outro of this podcast. And thank you, gentlemen. Take care and build on.